Boy, it was wonderful singing all those songs, wasn't it? What a blessing. Something to sing about. Well, if you would please, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. We're going to look at the opening of Proverbs, and then we're going to look at the opening of the book of Psalms. What we're going to consider tonight is reverencing God and delighting in Him. You know, Sunday, when we looked at some things, I talked a little bit about the relationship. And the importance of the relationship with God. There are different reasons why people do what they do. Sometimes people, when they're in trouble, they turn to God. Sometimes people, you know, for meeting social needs, or they turn to God, or hang out with whatever, and that's great. And you know, they get born again, and it's wonderful. Sometimes people, they get loved. They just get loved. They see the love of God, and it's awesome. It's wonderful. But what God desires is a relationship. A relationship with each one of His kids. And that's available to each one of us. He's promised to work in us, to willing to do of His good pleasure. You know, just all the things we've been looking at. And the Word talks about these things. Proverbs, we're just going to read, and you know all these verses we're going to look at. But Proverbs opens up with the beginning of knowledge. Or the beginning of wisdom. Actually, it's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 9 talks about this too. And that's what I want to read with you in Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 6 it says, to understand a proverb. Well, you know what? Let's read verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And Proverbs goes on to talk about the counsel that it's talking about, which we're going to read about in a minute. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the what? It's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that word fear, we understand it. It's reverence. It is an awe for who and what God is. With that in mind, I want you to go now to the opening of the Psalms. So Proverbs opens regarding reverence, reverencing God. And we're going to read a few more things about reverencing God. But that reverence of God is the beginning of knowledge. Psalm opens up in the first psalm. And in verse 1 it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You could understand as in the counsel of the wrong. this word blessed is a word that means happy. You can translate it, you know, how happy is the man? You know, that kind of a thing. But it means happy, to be happy. Happy is the man, or oh, how happy is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way with sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, one interesting thing here, all three of these are men. They're men. The counsel of the ungodly, you know, the way of the sinner, and in the seat of the scornful. Those are all men. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate. The word law here is a word, you guys have heard it, it's from the word Torah. And the word Torah has come to mean some different things, but its basic meaning is precept or the instruction. It's that instruction that comes from God. Isn't that simple? That's his delight. That's what he takes pleasure in. And then it says, I'll get my glasses, which are jumping out of my hand. And he who takes delight in that instruction of the Lord, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall what? Shall prosper. That's something. This isn't talking about, reading John 3:16 and then going after your day. This is his delight. It says here that he meditates in it day and night. And it's interesting because that actually has kind of a twofold meaning. Meditating day and night indicates it's your habit. It's what you do. It's where your mind goes when it's not occupied with, dealing with one of your kids, where you have that time where that's your habit. You delight, you murmur, you run the word in your heart and in your mind. Isn't that beautiful? It's your habit. But day and night is also used biblically of in the good times and in the bad times. The word talks about the night of the soul. That's your delight. You stay put because it's your habit. You're not going anywhere. Even when it feels like you're hanging on by a thread, you still got that thread, right? See, that's what it's talking about. And that man will be led in a good way. That prosperous to be led in a good way. He'll be like a tree planted. I want to show you another one along these lines in Jeremiah 7. Or 17, rather. Isaiah, Jeremiah 17. And you guys, I'm sure, have read this. We're going to pick it up in verse 5 of Jeremiah 17, verse 5. We're going to start out with the opposite. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man." Okay, he puts his trust in men. I don't know what you picture when you read "put your trust in men." You could picture any number of things. But it entails the words, the opinion, the wisdom of, the strength of, the ability of the flesh, men. Understand? And we'll see that a little more clearly as we go. But when you read that, puts his trust in men. That's what it's talking about. Okay? Then it says, he trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. And that's it's a kind of a figure. And it means he makes flesh his strength. That's how he gets it done. And whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. And the word heath, it can mean a little shrub. Some say it is specifically referring to a little juniper tree. But whatever it is, it's this small tree or this shrub in the desert. And shall not see when good comes. This is quite an illustration. You got this shriveled up little shrub in the desert. It's hot, no rain, no hope, you know. And even if good does come, it doesn't see it. Did you ever meet anybody like that? So wrapped up in their life, in their, they don't even see it. It's tragic. That's not what God wants for people. It's not what he wants. Not at all. He shall be like the heath or that little shrub in the desert, shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabit it. Look, this isn't punishment. This isn't God doing the cursing. This is the man denying, departing from God and doing it his way, exalting the flesh over God. You understand? Exalting the words of men over the words of God. Because we live in a fallen world. This place is pretty screwed up, if you haven't noticed. Then it says, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Isn't that beautiful? You know, Jim opened earlier about the hope, and then read a little bit from 1 Thessalonians 4. When God says hope, it means you can expect it. That's what it means. He doesn't use it the way men do. Well, I hope so. When God uses hope, it's, you can expect it. This is what you can expect. The only reason it's called hope isn't because it's a maybe. It's called hope because it's not here right now. But it will be. That's when God uses the word hope. Isn't that beautiful? For he, this man who trusts in the Lord and who hopes in the Lord, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat comes. Isn't that something? The one who trusts in man, he doesn't see when good comes. But the man who trusts in God, he doesn't see when the heat comes. Isn't that something? See, because he's blessed by God and therefore will not participate in the heat. You see? That's incredible. But this is true. And this is what God desires for his people. See? And these kinds of things, what we're reading about here, this is really relationship. Because you don't trust somebody you don't know. You don't look to somebody you don't trust. You don't let things get down to a thread if your hope isn't based on something solid. Right? So we're talking relationship here. That's what God wants. Boy, these are great truths. Then it says, and shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful, anxious, uptight, freaked out, worried in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Then it says, pay attention to the context, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately, the King James reads, desperately wicked. What this means is, it means hopelessly frail, hopelessly sick. The heart of man. And then you have a, it's a rhetorical, it's a figure of speech. Who can know it? Man certainly can't. Right? See, and so when I trust in the armor of the flesh, I'm not looking to the Lord. I'm going by my what? That heart, see, that is hopelessly sick, hopelessly frail. That's not what God wants for any of us, especially his people. Let's go to Psalm 147, and we're just going to read a couple more things here. Psalm 147, and these are basic things. These are things we know. These are things we understand, but these are things we need to be reminded of because the world just pounds away. You know, it just does. And you know, and sometimes, you don't want to admit it, but sometimes it gets to you, right? It's like, all of a sudden, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this. You know, and instead of listening to my God who's faithful, listening to the counsel of my Heavenly Father, I get caught up in listening to men. See? And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to listen to men, and I don't want to be guided by my own heart either. Because I know my heart. Yeah. And I know the stuff I got to watch out for. You know? But I have a faithful God and with, you know, great grace, great mercy. And he works in me to will and do of his good pleasure. That's what it says. And that's the truth. Psalm 147. This is there's some great stuff in this psalm. Verse 7. It says, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covered the heaven and clouds with clouds, who prepared the rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow upon the mountains. He gives to the beast his food, to the young ravens which cry. He delights not in the strength of the horse. He takes not pleasure in the legs of a man." That's another way of saying that strength by his arm. That is not what pleases God. The Lord takes pleasure in them that reverence him and in those that hope in his mercy. Isn't that something? That's what pleases God. See? It's so opposite. You know, because the world, you know, you want to look strong. You want to look together. You want to look flawless. You want to look all these things, right? Well, man, he's got it together. But that's not it. Isn't that beautiful? Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is another great one. Love, man. All the Psalms are great. All the Psalms are my favorite. Kind of depends what you're going through at the time, right? Sometimes you got stuff going on in your heart and you try and share that Psalm with somebody else and they're like, Yeah, that's cool. And you know, you're like melted. Why, don't you see it? But that's the richness of the word, right?
Yeah.
It's so great. Psalm 19, verse 7. This is great. The law, and again, it's that word Torah, the instruction, those precepts of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's not going anywhere. It's solid. It makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Isn't that beautiful? Rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eyes. The reverence of the Lord. And the word clean in the King James, you should understand it as cleansing. That reverence of the Lord is cleansing. See? You know why? Because you're recognizing God for who he is. See? And you're realizing that you need him. And maybe sometimes for some folks that for the first time, he doesn't necessarily need you. You know what I mean? And I don't mean that in a, you know, he loves. He's all love. But it's like we need God. And it's recognizing that and putting him in his proper place. So it's cleansing. It really is. It takes the heat off. It takes the weight off of me. The reverence of the Lord is cleansing, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Isn't that something? Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Psalm 25. Let's pick it up in verse 9. It says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And what man is he that fears or reverences the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. You should understand that him, meaning the Lord, will he teach in the way he should choose. See? God will work. Isn't that beautiful? His soul shall dwelt at ease. And at ease doesn't mean, you know, all of a sudden life becomes, you know, hands behind your head, just kind of lean back and everything's good. No, what it means is it means you're well-being, that you're taken care of. God will see to it. Isn't that something? You keep your eyes on him. It doesn't mean we won't go through things, because we will. But when it's all said and done, we're good. See? Isn't that something? So, and it, you know, it's just a general truth. It's a life that's blessed by God. His soul shall be at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that reverence, fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And the word secret here, it's a word that means, the best way to understand it, it's intimate counsel. It's translated secret in King James. But it's the intimate counsel of the Lord is to them that what? Reverence him. Isn't that something? That's relationship. See, that's God working in you, teaching you. That's what he does. That's what he does. And then it says, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. You know, he's not looking for the net. His eyes are to the Lord. God takes care of the net. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
A lot of freedom in that. And then let's close in Psalm. Psalm 86. Oh, I love this. I love this. This is so cool. Psalm 86. Hopefully I wrote down the right one this time. Here we go. Psalm 86. It is. This is beautiful. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusts in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou will answer me. Man. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name, for thou art great. That day will come. Oh, that day will come. And doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Verse 11, and this is what I wanted to get to. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. And then it says, unite my heart to reverence your name. Isn't that beautiful? That unite is to make one. It's undivided. Remember we talked about that divided on Sunday? This is an undivided heart. And it's to teach me. You know, we just read about reverencing God and how awesome it is. Well, here the psalmist is saying, teach me how to do that. Teach me how to reverence you like this, so that my heart is undivided, that I don't look anywhere else. That's a cool prayer. Maybe that should be a prayer for the coming year, right? Yeah. You think about it. To reverence God with a united heart like that, one, undivided. And God's faithful. He'll teach us how to do it. So those are the things, you know, these basic truths to think about and meditate on. And, I'll tell you, I don't know what's coming in this next year. I know everybody's talking about how horrible 2020 was. Well, I don't know that January 1 is going to make a difference. but what I do know is it doesn't make God any difference. Right? Doesn't make God any difference. So that's our God, and that's where we want to, and pray that. Pray for him to teach you how to reverence him like we're reading about here, so that you can do it with an undivided heart. So, amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to pray. Yes, I do. I forgot about it, and I apologize for that.